Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast, where Transova team members and industry experts will cover how our reproductive toolbox of embryo transfer, in vitro fertilization, sorted semen, and cloning technologies can multiply the success within your livestock breeding program. Throughout our series, we will also cover a wide array of topics such as frequently asked questions, management and care advice, as well as client and location highlights.
Welcome back to the Powered by Transova podcast. Emily and Sarah here today. Great to be back with you, Sarah. It's been a while since we've recorded an episode together. So super excited about that.
I know you missed me.
I did. Yes, I did. So today we have Sabrina and Cassie Clark, our two client service reps for Transova and very heavily involved in the dairy industry. So thank you, ladies, for joining us. It's great to talk with you today. So Cassie, you are the oldest. So why don't you start off, introduce yourself, talk about your background. And I know it's going to overlap with Sabrina's as well, because I guess you guys are related or something. And, you know, talk about your start in the dairy industry.
Okay. So Sabrina and I both got our start through our family's dairy. Both my mom and my dad have been farming for quite a while. We are a small herd in northeastern Pennsylvania. I grew up showing Ayrshires, and Sabrina showed Holsteins, and then our family also has red and whites and Jerseys. And we showed in through 4-H and then junior associations, and we competed both at local, state, and national shows.
And to add to that, when we were in 4-H, we were very involved in our 4-H club, dairy quiz bowl, dairy judging. And then once we went on to Penn State, we were involved in the dairy science club, dairy judging, where we judged at World Dairy Expo and Louisville. Cassie and I both graduated from Penn State with a degree in dairy science. I guess you could say we're both very competitive. So once we were old enough to start showing, we started to advance our herd and get better genetics and do better at shows. And luckily, our dad is just as crazy as us. So he was always there for us. And then this year at World Dairy Expo, this past year, we had our own string of around 25 head, and we did very well. So that's how we got started in the dairy world.
That's awesome that you guys were able to do that at World Dairy Expo. It helps to have family members as crazy as you are, right?
Definitely.
You guys have given us a background kind of into yourselves, your education, and your involvement in the dairy industry. Tell me a little bit how your involvement in the dairy industry led you to Transova.
When I was in Penn State, I was looking for a summer internship, and I found one at Oakfield Corners Dairy, which is a Transova satellite. And every other Tuesday, I got to help with the IVF process and getting to know the vet and embryologist there. Getting to help with the IVF process, it really helped my love for the genetic process. And then the vet and embryologist let me know about the summer internship at Transova. So I applied to be the production assistant at Transova. And then once I graduated, I applied to be the elite calf herdsman. And then I also helped production assistant. And then about 2 years ago, a client service position opened up and I took that. And now I service both satellites in Pennsylvania, one in Western Ohio, some clients in Maryland, and then Swiss Lane Farms in Michigan.
And then I got my start in Transova kind of through Sabrina when she was an intern. And then her first little bit of time with Transova, I was working for Bud John Farms in Wisconsin. And they are also a satellite center for Transova. I wasn't really involved with their reproduction there or did much with Transova. I just knew that they collected every other week there. But then while Sabrina was at Transova, I was looking to relocate closer to home about 2.5 years ago. And at the time, she said that Transova had an opening in their IVF lab in Maryland. And that kind of interested me. So I applied and moved back east and worked in the lab for 2 years. I predominantly froze and graded embryos and then did a little bit with predictions as well. And then at the end of 2021, I was just kind of missing interacting with clients and people within the industry and was also missing living in Wisconsin. So I saw that Transova had an open position for a CSR here at the MAC. And I relocated back to the Midwest, and I now service the Bajan satellite as well as the CMRS satellite.
Awesome. So very unique stories. I think, you know, it shows your guys' passion for the industry that we work in and what led you to your career. And then also your hobby too of showing cattle on the side. Excuse me, which I think is awesome. So let's dig into, you know, what you guys do on a daily basis for Transova. Maybe Sabrina, you could tell us kind of what a typical day looks like. And then Cassie, fill in anything she missed since your roles are so similar, but you work at two different locations.
Okay. So our day normally starts around 8 a.m. And so when I get to the office, I always start with predictions and fresh shipments. So the lab communicates to us what the embryos are from last week are looking like. So they break them into two categories, qualities and lows. So the quality embryos are freezable and the lows are not. So then we then communicate those results to the client, and the client lets us know how they like to proceed. If they want the low, usually clients ship all the low embryos because they're not freezable, and then they transfer them. Once we have then communicated to the lab what the client wants to ship, I will move on to my freeze results from the day before and any other like phone calls, emails, things like that. And then once I'm completed with all of those, I move on to scheduling for the next week. My weeks are kind of similar. So all my sites run at 1 week. So I'll be scheduling all 1 week and then giving results the next. So it just depends what week I'm on. And then I'll call the clients, see what donor they want to run, if they're pregnant, if they're open, get all the information from them. I usually ask them like their top three bulls they want to use so I can look up how the bulls have performed in the past and see maybe that helps their decision. And then I'll send out any FSH or supplies that they need and just answer any questions for the clients.
My days are pretty similar to Sabrina's. The only additional thing that I have is I also answer the phone, the main phone for the Madison Center. So if you call the MAC, you will most likely be talking to me. I also am starting to work on keeping track of the capacity that our lab here in Madison is able to handle. Each lab has a designated amount of donors that can run through our facility a day. And so it's a lot of work to keep it all organized and make sure that we don't go over capacity. So sometimes we have to shift things around or just try and make it work as best as possible. So I also am helping with taking over that from our lab manager.
Very interesting. It sounds like you guys are working, you know, parallel lives, similar, a lot of things that probably replicate from place to place. Cassie, I wondered if you could explain, maybe give a little bit of a history behind what we call the MAC, which is the lab in Madison. Give a little bit of history on that and then explain to us the dynamic between the labs, particularly the lab in Maryland and the one that you work at now.
So the lab here in Madison just opened coming up on 2 years ago. And a good bit of the sites that actually ship into the MAC are out of Wisconsin. And the MAC came about to try and alleviate a little bit of the capacity that Iowa was having in hopes that we could, Transova as a whole, be able to service more donors and be able to reach a wider client base. I would say that everybody, all of the CSRs within Transova communicate a good bit between moving semen between labs, depending on if a client needs to purchase something or if they bought embryos from a sale at a different location. So we collaborate a lot to kind of move things around. There are also some larger clients that may run at different locations. So CSRs are communicating in order to get oocytes moved to where they need to, or make sure that everything runs smoothly to handle all of the sites. I know company-wide, there is also a lot of collaboration, especially the labs are all running on the same protocols, and the lab managers interact a lot with each other to make sure that everything that happens in the lab here is the same as what happens in the lab in Maryland or in Iowa or, you know, California, Washington. All the labs run on the same thing, and they all visit one another to make sure everything is running smoothly, as well as, you know, numerous people within the company visit all the sites to make sure that we are all following the same protocols and also just kind of making sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah, those are all great points, Cassie. And there's one thing that I want to build off that you said, you know, when clients buy semen or buy procedures, you know, from across the country, it could be in a totally different area from where they live. And I know when I was filling in as an embryologist last spring, you know, we'd collect at one site and part of the oocytes would go to the MAC and then the other half would go to Maryland. Maybe one of you could talk about, you know, how often that happens and, you know, just a customization of the options available to clients that are selling procedures or, you know, embryos across the company.
I guess I'll jump in here. So a lot of what happens is some of the larger people or even someone that all of their semen is in Wisconsin, but they're running at they purchased an aspiration from one of our Maryland sites. We will ship our oocytes out there because maybe they have something running the same day and they can share the same unit of semen to save them some costs. And we just try to personalize it for every client and whatever makes it easiest for them.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Sabrina. I think if you think it up, the Transova team will really step out of their way to try to make it happen. Obviously, we can't do everything, but I mean, we really work hard to find a solution to help a client out. Whatever you can think of, throw at us. I'm sure you guys have heard it and have attempted to get it done for people. So it's a true testament to the great people we have on our team. So let's switch over to maybe more of a dairy specific question here. So from an inside perspective, you know, you guys have been heavily involved in the dairy industry. How do you see ART affecting the industry as a whole?
Okay, I'll start. So I think that ART, which Advanced Repro Technology, has already affected the dairy industry in a huge way. It helps the dairy farmer improve his milk components, the amount of milk they're making, the longevity of their cows, all by allowing them to take the best animals and take those traits and mate them to a bull and then put those embryos in the lower half of their herd to improve their herd. Other ways is with the genomic world. We have really taken the genomic world to a whole new level, shortening the generation interval tremendously, and some of those heifers are having embryo calves before they actually calve. So that is just speeding up the process and getting new genomics all the time. When it comes to the show world, it's really cool to go to a show and you look out in the ring and you see all the calves that Transova has had a part in making, which is really cool. The top bulls, we have helped make a lot of them. People that have their famous show cow that they just love, they can mate her to a bunch of different bulls. Instead of just getting one calf out of her a year, you can get 10 to 12. So we just have really helped every farmer with their reproduction system.
I will add a little side note to that. Working in the lab, it was really cool getting, especially being involved in kind of the show side of it, getting to look at embryos out of show cows that I was familiar with, and then knowing that I was a part of their program and making their embryos, and then also seeing calves out of matings, either in the ring or go through sales and being successful for the clients that we work with.
Very cool. You guys have a unique perspective because you're involved in the industry. And now you're kind of on the other side of the coin. You know, you've used the services yourself, and now you're helping others with their programs and their goals. From your guys' perspective, what do you think a dairy producer should know if they've not already done advanced reproductive technology work? What should they know before they start, or if they're looking into it, what are factors they should know?
I would say, as you're getting started, especially with if you're using our services, to be really aware of your goals as a breeder, whether that be for, you know, milk production or however you want to improve your herd, or if you are looking to make embryos for export or embryos to sell or to make, you know, your hopeful next show winner. Just really be aware of your goals, and then also kind of have a plan of how you want to go about achieving them, how you're going to utilize the embryos that you're making with us, and what your goal is.
And to add to that, I always like to tell people, especially with the IVF process, is that they can be pregnant or they can be open. We can do them up to like 120 days pregnant. I like to tell them that they don't have to be a specific place in their cycle. You don't have to get a start heat. You don't have to get a heat on them at all, preferably not a heat when you're trying to IVF them. And then we can do them every 2 weeks. So if you're trying to maximize pregnancies, or if you are trying to make as many embryos as possible, we can run them on a 2 week interval and get them cooking out embryos.
Very good. Yeah. Lots of, positives to the IVF process that I think are beneficial to anybody, no matter your herd size or your goals. It's very beneficial. The one thing that I would like to add, and maybe you guys could touch on, we get this question a lot with a lot of our beef clients, is do you have to use FSH, the stimulating hormone, for IVF? Do you guys get that question a lot with the dairy producers as well? And how do you answer that?
We do get that question a lot as well. And it is, we answer it kind of, it's up to you, especially on donors or young donors that are just entering a IVF protocol. We can get away with running donors no stim for a couple of times. And then depending on how their results are, we can recommend to start giving them FSH in order to mature their oocytes and hope for some better results.
So when I get that question, I usually encourage people to start without FSH because we don't know how that donor is going to produce or what she's going to do. So you start them without FSH if you want to. Some people choose to use FSH. It's totally up to you. And then usually what we see is some donors, once you give them FSH, the quality of embryos becomes better. So it's totally donor dependent. Some donors do the same with or without. So it's totally up to them and how their donor produces.
It's good to know that it's a donor dependent, you know, and it's not just a one size fits all approach. And so that just communicating with these lovely ladies as your CSR is probably the best approach to figuring out what works and what doesn't work. Sabrina, I think you hit on this, that IVF, there are opportunities to do pregnant donors, open donors. Can you maybe describe too the additional benefits to, you know, the young donor program and what those options are for producers as well?
Yeah, so I work with a couple larger genomic herds, and so they want to start as soon as possible. And so as long as they are at least like 500 pounds, our vets are being able to do them. So usually we don't run them on a 2 week cycle. We usually run them on a 4 week cycle just because of how young they are. But it is great to be able to run the young donors, and we normally start them on no FSH to see how they produce, and then a very low dose just because they're so young.
Is there ever a concern of getting those donors bred then, you know, naturally for their first calf after running through IVF?
No, we've never had an issue with that. You can breed them while you're IVFing them too, just as long as they're not on FSH shots. So on their off week, you can get them bred and you can continue IVFing them. And then they become pregnant and you can do them up until the vet can no longer reach the ovaries.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's important to know because as a producer, you get a little nervous of taking those valuable heifers through IVF procedure, and you need to know all of the risks and the benefits and then weigh your options that way. So I think that's great that you covered that. So I guess our last question here is, what does a successful day look like for you? And Cassie, you can go ahead and start with this one.
So a successful day for me looks a little different depending on the week. Like Sabrina kind of talked about in what her day-to-day looks like. I also, all of my satellites run on the same week and then I have results coming out the next week. So the weeks of results coming out are much busier. So a successful day for me that day would just kind of be getting through my to-do list as efficiently and as quickly as possible, while also still answering phone calls or any questions that newer clients or clients may have coming in, as well as just everything that I kind of have to do.
And to add to hers, a successful day for me, I guess, would be if I was starting off with predictions, was getting good results, whether that is prediction results or oocyte numbers, but just being able to call the client and share the good news and see how they're doing and see just how happy they are when we do give them good results. Because I know as a client myself, when you get good results, it just makes your day so much better.
Sabrina, you just brought up a good point that you've been a client yourself. Tell me a little bit before maybe you even started with Transova, what your perception was of Transova, and then kind of what you think sets us apart, you know, both as, from a client perspective, but then also as an employee perspective as well.
Yeah. So my family has show cows, like we said before. So we were always conventionally flushing animals. And then once we heard about Transova and being able to do donors pregnant, that was a game changer for us. And it's so nice because you don't use as much semen. So you're only using one straw semen. So when you have an expensive unit of semen, you're able to just use that one unit or share it with another donor. So that was also a positive for us. I guess I could say we do still IVF and conventionally flush. We just IVF'd a couple cows a couple months ago and we went 5 for 5 on pregnancies. So I guess that's really great for us. It's just always good when we can share good results with the clients and with Transova.
So I guess, before we wrap up here, the one I think would be amiss if we didn't ask you guys about your satellite centers that you work with and give and make sure we plug them in here. Maybe you could tell us what satellite, you mentioned it at the beginning, but tell us again what satellites you work with and then the days that they run. So anybody that's listening, if they are near that location, they know kind of the schedule and then they can get a hold of you and we'll post your guys's emails in the podcast comments in case anybody wants to get a hold of you for additional questions.
Okay. And I'll start with Pennsylvania. So there are two satellite centers that I service in Pennsylvania. Heart and Soul, which is the Boot family. They are in central Pennsylvania near State College area, and they run every other Thursday, and we will be running there this Thursday. And then my other site in Pennsylvania is Kleindell Farms, which is Jason and Megan Klein. They run every other Monday. They just ran yesterday, and they are in eastern Pennsylvania near Philadelphia. And then I have Busher Dairy, which is Steve McKenzie and all the Busher clan, and they run every other Wednesday and they will be running tomorrow. They are almost to the Indiana border. And then we have Swiss Lane Dairy, which is in Michigan. They're in like southeastern Michigan. They actually only run once a month, but we'll be running again May 25th if anyone wants to get on the schedule. And then I also help Maryland, and we run every Monday through Thursday. And we are kind of in the northwestern part of Maryland.
So I service the Budjon satellite, which is Tom and Kelly Cole, and they run every other Mondays and are located in South Central Wisconsin. And then I also service the Seamers satellite, which would be the Seamers family in Eastern Wisconsin, and they run every other Tuesday and Wednesday. I would definitely say, though, if you are looking to use Transova services, definitely don't be afraid to ask your client service rep as many questions as you may have. Even if you think that they are silly questions, they're definitely not. We are here to help you in as many ways as possible. We have access to a lot of different information, especially semen information, how bulls are doing, and we want to give you the best results possible. So anything that we can do or questions you may be able to answer for you, we are definitely always here to answer them and help you in any way.
I think that's a really great point, because I think one of the benefits that you receive when you come to Transova is it's not just a handful of people. We have an entire network of people. So if there is troubleshooting, if there are questions, there is a slew of people who can help and answer it. And you kind of get a network of people when you come and ask questions. So don't be afraid to ask them. We've heard it all. We'll hear more and we'll do our research the way we need to. So the one thing I know we've asked in the past, we've had husband and wives on there, and we always ask about the dynamic of both of them working for Transova. So what's it like with the sister dynamic working at Transova? Do you have heated discussions at the Thanksgiving dinner table?
It is always funny when we're talking to each other. We usually call each other a couple times a week just to talk about work. And then we realize we've talked for 3 hours about work. And it's kind of nice, though, because we both do the same role. So we understand what we're talking about. And we understand sometimes the frustrations or the good things that are happening. So it's really fun to be able to talk to someone so close to you about what we do on a daily basis.
Well, first of all, we appreciate the job that both you, Sabrina, and Cassie do for Transova, and then for you for joining us today as well. We know you have busy schedules, and we appreciate everything that you girls do, and we wish you the best in your dairy adventures as well.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks again, Sabrina and Cassie, for joining us today on our podcast episode. Always great to hear from our team members, Sarah, about their perspective of our services and the industry that we're all so passionate about. It's interesting to hear from sisters that work together too. I thought that was a unique perspective.
Yeah, you definitely imagine calling up your sister when you've had a bad day or a good day or whatever. And they have that, and then they have the work compatibility as well. And so I'm sure they do have lots of conversations about the good, the bad, and all in between, you know, mm-hmm. that comes with your job and life and everything that way. So it is interesting, and it's interesting how they both got their start. You know, their paths are very similar in the dairy industry, and how it led them both to a job within Transova. You know, it kind of fits their passion, you know, and their interests, you know, very well.
Mm-hmm. I had to hold back my Penn State comments though, Sarah.
It's not like you to hold back.
I know. I didn't have enough coffee this morning, apparently. But I thought also, too, they made some good points about IVF in dairy donors, young donors, and just mature donors, too, of how beneficial IVF can be into a program, especially if you've got some big goals to achieve. IVF is a good step in the right direction.
Definitely. And that's one thing about the dairy industry, obviously. I grew up on the beef side of things, and as did you. The one thing the dairy industry does well, and maybe better than the beef industry, is, you know, their ability to turn around generations and their focus on, you know, the young dairy donors, and just keeping on that generational turn so quickly. And it was interesting to hear them talk about that as well.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it is very data driven, which is mm-hmm. cool to see how that mixes in with the IVF programs, which I think is unique in itself and very interesting to hear about.
Definitely. I think it will be fun to see those girls at World Dairy and see how they do in their operations. And they, as I said, they're competitive. And so it will be fun to watch them.
Yep. And we'll also have them in the booth with us, and maybe we'll create a competition for them to see how many signups for our giveaway they get each or something unique like that.
A little family competition.
That's right. Yeah. So we hope that you've enjoyed today's podcast. We will post Cassie and Sabrina's emails and contact information. So if anybody has questions, if you are near one of the satellites that they mentioned and are interested in doing work, you can get a hold of them and they can answer all of your questions and help you get started. So thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Powered by Transova podcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to Transova. If you have any topics you'd like to hear more about, send an email to moreinformation@transova.com. Thank you.